Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Now, as we count down the days to the latest easing of lockdown, many of us are looking forward to moving around our little island again. After a year of almost constant restrictions, there's some hope that we may be able to travel for a break later in the summer. But for now, we're reliant on other means to connect us to the landscape beyond our own counties. And the people from Tourism Northern Ireland have come up with Soothing Stories, which takes listeners on audio journeys through the landscape and culture of the North. Written by author Seth Linder in his home in Rostrever in County Down. They're read by two of Northern Ireland's most famous actors, Conleth Hill and Brona Waugh. Here's a wee taste.
Soothing the Soul, a journey through Tyrone and the Fermanagh Lakelands. Hello, my name is Brona Waugh. Have you ever wondered what it would feel like to be a giant in a children's book? To stride through a land so beautiful and wild, it appears to have a life all of its own.
And Brona Waugh, who you'll all know from The Fall, Derry Girls, Hollyoaks and the new ITV drama Viewpoint, joins me now on the line. Morning, Brona.
Good morning, Miriam. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so delighted. Listen, I love listening to that. I know you've lived in England for a number of years now, but did recording those stories take you right back to the landscapes of your home?
Oh, absolutely. I recorded them a couple of weeks ago, still in the depths of lockdown, and I've not been able to get home now to Ireland for 16 months. So I felt desperately homesick reading them. But it was lovely. It was the kind of next best thing to be able to transport myself back home from a tiny booth in my living room in England.
And obviously you're a Coleraine woman originally, Brona, but mm-hmm. where might you head for a walk, say, this Easter Sunday, if you're back in the North and you were free to roam wherever you wanted to?
Oh, gosh. If I was home right now, I would definitely be going to Port Stewart Strand, which is up on the North Coast, right where I'm from. There's a beautiful long walk of a couple of miles along the beach. You can go the whole way to the Bar Mouth, which is right at the mouth of the River Bann. And then I would walk back up through the sand dunes. And if I wasn't so heavily pregnant, I would roll down the sand dunes. I mean, I might anyway, by accident. And then I would probably go to Mussenden Temple, because I always do that when I'm home. It's a very, very special place for me. Stop off at Carrickarede Rope Bridge and then go to the Remore for a bite to eat afterwards. That's what I'd do.
Sounds exciting, but you mentioned there you're pregnant. How pregnant are you?
I'm 8 months.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. It's your first baby, isn't it, Brona?
Mm-hmm. There has been a bit of trepidation in the middle of a pandemic, you know, being pregnant in the midst of all of this. I have been a bit anxious, and mainly the most difficult thing has been being separated from my family and not being able to get back to Ireland. Like, 16 months is the longest I've never been home. So, yeah, that's been difficult. But, you know, everything is well and good with the baby, and that's all that you can hope for. And soon this whole mess will be over and we'll all be able to be reunited with our families again, you know.
Absolutely. What about your career? I think, did you find it hard to decide what time it was right to have a baby? Because I suppose in a career like yours, that's tricky.
Yeah, it can be really difficult. I think a lot of women who are in my business say the same thing, although I think it's probably common in many different careers. But yes, it feels like when you're busy and you're getting series after series, you kind of don't want to lick a gift horse in the mouth, and you don't want the work to dry up, and you kind of worry like, oh God, will there still be work there when I come back? But I have to say, I've filmed all the way through the pregnancy with Viewpoint, and they were amazing with it all. And, you know, I've got another job coming when the baby is still quite young. So I think people have been really, really cool about it and very supportive. And things have got a bit more progressive in our industry with people saying, no, you can bring the baby along and, you know, they can be in your trailer and, you know, bring your mum along too. It's okay.
Which is great. And of course, the way it should always have been. Now, Viewpoint, we haven't seen it yet, but it's a big drama for ITV and for you. It's the first major drama, I think, shot since COVID. What was the experience of trying to make it like?
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was really bizarre. We were the first ever production to go back, and so we were all very cautious, which I think is good and what led us to not shutting down, because quite a few other productions started up shortly after us, but they all had to pause because they had, you know, different troubles with people catching COVID and stuff. But our guys were so, so careful. And it was bizarre. Wearing masks, you can't whisper on set, which I didn't realize how much I love to whisper. But we were being tested every 2 days. So we were all in a bubble together because the filming, you have to break the 2 meter distance rule. So I felt very privileged to be able to touch people when other people in the country couldn't, you know. It was nice.
Tell me a little about it and the character you play.
Yeah, so Viewpoint is about a group of surveillance police detectives that are watching a house. A girl goes missing and they start watching a series of terraced houses. And it's very Hitchcockian. It kind of appeals to everybody's curiosity and nosiness, really. I'm sure a lot of people will identify with over lockdown how nosy we've all been with our neighbours and looking out the window and stuff. So we invite the audience to kind of be armchair detective with us and to spy on these people and kind of try and put the piece of the puzzle together. I play DC Stella Beckett, who is a detective and is the partner of Noel Clark, who plays the lead cop in it. And it's great. She's a really feisty, sarcastic, no-nonsense Manchester woman. And it's a bit of crack.
It's a huge role, which is great. I mean, before that, many of our listeners this morning probably will remember you famously playing Sally Ann Spector, the wife of Jamie Dornan's horrid serial killer character in The Fall. But I know The Fall, it's found a huge new audience, hasn't it, since it went on Netflix during lockdown?
Yeah, it was so lucky. Netflix re-released it at the beginning of lockdown last year, and it just had a huge resurgence. And the next thing I know, I've heard from Gillian, and it's got to number one. And because, you know, it's a number of years since we made it for RTE and BBC One. A lot of people who were too young to watch it the first time have now discovered it, you know, so it's been fantastic.
But you actually love playing, don't you, strong, opinionated, complex female characters, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, beggars can't be choosers in our industry, and you kind of are always grateful for whatever work you get. But I do consciously try as best I can to kind of find roles that pique my interest and are challenging and also subvert the norm that you can get. I think when you get to your sort of mid-30s, you can get a lot of roles that start to become similar, you know. So I've tried really hard to kind of make more interesting choices. And certainly in this role, in Viewpoint, Stella is really different. She is very flawed. I think so often with female characters in the past, you'll see quite a kind of, especially with detectives, you'll see a very kind of sweetness and light, and they're the goody. And, you know, so it's nice to play someone who's flawed and has bad traits to them and is not perfect and is messy and in the middle. You know, that's how all of us are.
But you've had great female role models. I mean, you grew up surrounded by two wonderful, strong women, including your grandmother and your mum, Bonnie.
That's right. Yeah, I've been so lucky to be raised by such wonderful women in my life who have sort of guided and taught me how to hopefully be the same. My grandmother is a wonderful woman who was an English literature lecturer and taught me a lot about the arts and opera and music and theatre, which was fantastic. And my mum was a business woman, so she taught me how to kind of be my own boss and stand up for yourself and assert yourself. And so, yeah, I feel incredibly lucky to have been raised by such strong women, you know.
And is your mum, Bonnie, why, or at least part of the reason why, Brona, you're so committed to campaigns for equality and against discrimination in the North?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I think part of the reason why I campaign for equality and LGBT rights is because my mum is gay, but also so many of my friends. And it just felt unfair for some of us in the North to be treated better than others, and others have been treated less equally. So it felt important for me to campaign for that. And also because, you know, in the North, we're a very, very small part of the island. And so any light that we can shed on those issues, because often a lot of people down south aren't even aware that, you know, that's what our laws are. So it's been really nice to be able to highlight a lot of the issues surrounding abortion care and equal marriage, because a lot of people in the Republic didn't even know about that, and then have been very supportive in lending their support and allyship, because, you know, we're a whole island and we've got to all support each other, you know.
And am I right in saying that your mum's situation, it was the reason you delayed getting married yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just felt like I'd been campaigning for 5 years for equal marriage in the North. When Richard proposed to me, I just felt like it would be a little bit hypocritical if I went and got married when all my friends couldn't get married and all the people that I'd been campaigning with couldn't. So I just made a decision that, well, I'm not going to do it until everybody in the island of Ireland can, because it just didn't feel fair. It felt privileged and just unequal. So, and also it kind of reaffirms your commitment to fight for something. You know, you get to walk a tiny, tiny aspect in someone else's shoes without the discrimination, obviously. But, you know, it made me really empathize with a lot of my friends whose marriages couldn't take apart either, you know. And even more so now, because it's been postponed because of lockdown. Along with, I'm sure, hundreds of other Irish people that had their wedding planned last year.
Yeah, absolutely. The baby will come first now.
The baby will come first and there'll be time for wedding bells later, yes.
Brona, I wish you the very best with everything. It's brilliant, your career is going so well. And most of all, best of luck with your beautiful new baby when it comes.
Thanks, Miriam.
And we look forward to seeing you on screen again when this big ITV drama, Viewpoint, appears later this month. And meanwhile, if anyone would like to listen to a soothing story, check out the Discover Northern Ireland Spotify feed. Brona, thanks a million.
Bye.